Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here. Right now, get up to 80% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, seasonal decor, and way more. All at Wayfair. These are Wayfair's best deals of the year. From seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, enjoy fast and free shipping with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 80% off during Wayfair's Black Friday sale. Now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Well, for our recruiters, our list bosses, our junior footballers, our draft journalists, months and months of work is coming to an end. We're 24 hours out from the first night of the AFL draft, and I have our Code Sports draft experts with us, Chris Kavanagh and Dan Batten. Thanks for coming in, boys. It's been a very busy time. How are we feeling ahead of tomorrow night?
Yeah, it feels a bit like Christmas Eve, Ed, doesn't it? It's a pretty exciting time for us who have been following the draft all year and to see where all these kids end up and where their futures lie.
Yeah, plenty of presents under the tree ready, waiting to be unwrapped. But yeah, I have a feeling over the next few days there's going to be a few disappointed kids as well with limited draft numbers. But yeah, look forward to running through what might happen.
And you two have been hard at work, like the elves at the North Pole. This morning I've been watching on in awe as you put together your final top 10 in this phantom draft, work out how some of it's going to play out. There's been a few changes from last week when we went through the phantom draft. Cav, can you talk us through how you think the current top 10 is going to shake out?
Yeah, so I think the basically the first part of the current the top 10 from a week ago is pretty much the same. So Willem Dersma is the number one pick for West Coast. Lock that in. Lock in a Zeke Ulam bid at number two. And Harry Dean is likely to get a bid from West Coast at pick three. So Carlton will match that on their father's son. Cooper Duff Tightler to West Coast with their second live pick effectively. And then it's Richmond comes in and as we said last week, it's Bidman there. So Dylan Patterson, Dan Annable both get bids, Gold Coast Suns and Brisbane Lions Academy kids. And then it gets interesting because that's where things have changed a little bit. Sam Cumming has come in as the likely pick seven for Richmond. So the Tigers travelled up to Mildura last week to nearby Wentworth where Cumming's from and did a home visit last Friday. So it looks like they're going to pick him at pick seven. Pick eight, Sullivan Roby, who we've thought for a while is going to the Tigers. Pick nine, we've got Xavier Taylor, who we had going to Richmond, but as that's obviously changed with the Cumming coming in. And then we've got Lockie Doveston at pick 10 to Essendon. So, yeah, a few changes there, Dan.
Yeah, definitely. And it's going to be, yeah, as you said, Richmond really going to shape that sort of next part of the draft. So Xavier Taylor also could be a chance to land at Richmond. That was the early male that he seemed to be linked there. And it could still happen for them, but if he doesn't, whoever they don't pick, it seems like Cumming is probably the most likely one at Richmond. Whether it's Roby or Taylor, they don't select, then that opens the door for Essendon potentially to snap them up. Obviously Dyson Sharp as well could be taken with that second Essendon pick, but we know Melbourne are fans of Doveston as well, and Essendon has put plenty of work to him since the draft combine. So, it could well shake out that Sharp gets selected first by the Bombers, but we have Doveston just in case, Melbourne snap him up instead.
Are Richmond being more coy than they were last year with these early picks? Do you feel that they've adjusted their strategy a bit to keep clubs guessing?
Yeah, a little bit. I think that's definitely been the case. I mean, there's been a little bit of late mail today too that Jacob Farrow's come into the mix and that does have some traction, which is interesting because we had thought for a while it was down to about four for the Tigers, and that was Roby, Sullivan Roby coming. Obviously,
Sam Grill.
Grill was the other one, yes, yeah, and Taylor, so... But Farrow's coming to the mix there too, which I think that's probably less likely, but you never know.
Yeah, tell us about Farrow, Dan. Is it a bit of a taller rebounding defender sort of player at the moment?
Yeah, at the moment, but I feel like he does transition into that sort of mid type who can have that penetrating kick inside 50. He's been likened a lot to Jordan Dawson throughout this year, and he thinks he can. I spoke to him at the draft combine, and he said that he feels he can sort of have that similar transition just like Jordan Dawson. So, yeah, he's a pretty exciting one. Who's you look at a lot of this list and a lot of our fandom draft, a lot of these guys in the top 15, 20 mix, you know, weren't in those conversations before the national championships and have really had a quite a strong back half of the year. I mean, Latrell Pickett's one of the biggest examples of that. You know, a potential top 15 pick who was, you know, playing sample reserves and not really on the radar a great deal earlier in the year. And then now he's, you know, a genuine first round, a very likely first round pick.
Yeah, and for those who don't know about Sam Cumming too, he's been likened to Rory Sloane, the former Crow. So he's really got speed, got power, just ball winning midfielder forward. Tough at it. So, yeah, that's he's a pretty exciting pick for the Tigers if that's the way they go, which we think they will.
Yeah, there's no SA go-home factor, is there? So he played for South Australia, but he's basically from that tri-state area in
that's
between.
Right. Yeah, actually right born in New South Wales. Wentworth is New South Wales. Played some of his junior footy with the Verlon Cup Bendigo Pioneers. And then obviously played boarded in South Australia. So, yeah, no go-home concerns there.
The global citizen, Sam Cumming. quick one before we move on to our first segment. Code Sports has a special deal for listeners and viewers. 12 months for just $49. So that gets you all the premium content, analysis, inside access, and our massive documentary, Chasing the Dream, which enters its final stages as we approach the draft. So that, still more to come on that in the next couple of weeks. So have a look at that offer. But it's time for a segment, which I've created on the way in here today. It's called Match That Bid. We have 10 bids projected in the top 30 picks, and I just want to check the maths that these clubs can get a handle on them, particularly the Suns. So Gold Coast, we do think that first bid will come in from West Coast Cav for Zeke Ulan.
Yep, Zeke Ulan at two. So I've got the calculator out this morning, and currently the Suns have got 3,773 points. So we think they're going to execute a few trades on draft night to get some picks off GWS Adelaide and Port Adelaide in the second and third rounds of the draft. That would get him to 4,299 points. So let's just say a bid comes on Ulan at pick two. That's 2,233 points. I need to match that. A bid comes on Patterson at pick five. That's 1,616 points to match that. And then we've got Jai Murray getting a bid at pick 18, which would cost him another 752 points. Total of all that is 4,601, and as we said, they only have 4,299 if they do those trades, which we expect them to do. So they're short already, and then you add Bo Adentil into that, and they're in a bit of trouble, aren't they, Dan?
Yeah, and that's has been the late mouth popped up over the last couple of days, is that West Coast, you know, obviously Jai Murray, they obviously do rate Jai Murray, but they're gonna potentially bid on Jai Murray with their pick, and Gold Coast will match it, and then that'll, you know, obviously clear them out with points, and then they bid on Bo Adensel. So back to back bids is what we're predicting West Coast to do, and you look at the Suns list, they've got so many inside midfielders, and that's what Bo Adensel projects to be. Could potentially play different roles at the start of his career, but that's probably what he will be in down the track. And Gold Coast have stacked with them. West Coast aren't so much. So a quality ball, quality midfielder like Bo Adensel could potentially step in next year for the Eagles. So it'll be a fascinating watch to see what happens there, because obviously Gold Coast can go into draft deficit as well. And they also have the son of their number one ticket holder, Kobe Coulson, as well to think about, but he's probably more likely to snag a bid later, maybe on night two. So, yeah, it'll be very interesting to see what happens. And a lot of people, there's been a lot of criticism, obviously, about the academy system and about bids. We're seeing this year just the Titan constraints of a 90% or reduction from 80% to 90%, a 10% discount on those bids rather than 20%. And we're seeing the impact that it might have. They may not be able to get one of their players.
Yeah, I had a chat to Bo Adensel on Saturday as well. And, yeah, he's accepting that he might have to go elsewhere. He would love to go to the Suns, obviously, but he knows that the situation is they just can't get five players in from their academy this year, I don't think. So, as much as they'd like to, I can't see that happening.
At least the surf's good in Perth, Bo, if you do wind up there. Dan Annable, do Brisbane have the points there at pick six if that bid comes in that early?
Yeah, so that'll cost them basically just pick 17 and 23, which they've got at the moment. That's pretty much wipes that out, and then they get a few picks out the back of the line. So he has been their target for some time. They knew last year and heading into the trade period last year that Dan Adamall was going to be a top pick this year, so they're well prepared for that situation there.
Oh, fantastic. And Harry Kyle, that's one that's popped up for me. I think Lachlan Carmichael might have been ahead of him in a few draft orders coming into the draft, but we're expecting an early bid from JWS.
Yes. That seems to be the likelihood there. And yeah, the Giants do rate him quite highly, and has a bit of a different background. It's played a bit of rugby union. You can sort of say, or rugby league, I think it is.
Rugby union
it was, yeah. So, yeah, you can see with the way he does run, he's quite athletic as well. Lachie Carmichael and him, Lachie Carmichael's a chance to get a bid night one, but it's probably more likely night two. Western Bulldogs probably one of the ones there who rate him quite highly, who are a chance to bid. And Sydney, from what rival clubs believe, that Sydney are confident they'll be able to get all their academy kids. So it's Harry Kyle, that sort of winger who, pretty limited exposure in Aussie rules. So, could be anything. And Lachie Carmichael, who's been there, he was MVP under 16s, MVP under 18s, is a pretty reliable halfback. A bit of Archie Roberts about him. And then Max King as well, who, is a high upside, a sort of medium forward, or potentially a player who could be pretty versatile with his all-round athleticism. So, yeah, there's a but all obviously Harry Kyle maybe early on at that sort of that pick in the teens, but then you've got Max King and Carmichael who might attract bids in that sort of 20 to 30 range.
Yeah, Harry Kyle's only played about 60 games of AFL, so it's pretty crazy to think that he might be a first-round draft pick on Wednesday night.
So Carlton could be contending with a top five bid for Harry Dean. That's been looking increasingly likely. Can they come back and match a bid on Jack Eison if it comes on that first night?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting for the Blues. So yeah, we are pretty certain that West Coast will place that bid on Harry Dean at three, which Carlton is looking to do some pick swaps to get rid of pick 9 and 11, trading back pick 9 for some of those Essendon picks in the second round, 21, 27 and 30, and then they might trade pick 11 to North Melbourne for pick 25 and a future second. So that's all going to change tomorrow night. But, Jack Eison, I think, gets a bid probably from Geelong or Fremantle in that later sort of half of the first round. And I think Carlton is pretty keen to match a bid on him too, and they get him, those two through, and Cody Walker's on the way next year. Just pretty exciting if you're a Blues fan.
Yeah, and I think another thing to point out as well, the early part of the, you look at the draft order right now and look at that early sort of second round, a lot of those picks are going to just evaporate out of thin air. So we're going to see a first round of potentially 29 picks. Second round might be about five or six. Obviously, so just at the start of the second round, you got Gold Coast, North Melbourne, who's going to trade those picks to Carlton. So obviously with the bids we mentioned before, Essendon potentially with Adam Suede set to attract a bit around the 20s mark. Gold Coast obviously with the guys that we mentioned before. Essendon, Sydney obviously all have those academy picks. So it's going to be interesting to see how it looks like, because you look at, say, even the Bulldogs, they've got a pick sort of later in that first round. And that will probably shake out a little bit, and then they'll have a pick probably only five or six picks later after bids and everything. So yeah, that's one to watch on night two.
So you got a bit of mail from across the country, Cav, that Fremantle are probably going to plot a couple of bids. I'm not sure whether is that at the start of the second night around the pick 24-25?
That's the end of the first night. It's going to be a long first night.
So it's Tyler Williams is a local player, West Coast NGA, that they've got a genuine interest in the Dockers.
Yeah, they do, yeah. So there's a few clubs with an interest in him, but he's been working in the West Coast merchandise store this year. I think the Eagles are very likely to match if that bid comes from pick 25 onwards, and we've got Fremantle placing that at pick 24, so yeah, roughly that range. So I think he ends up an Eagle. And then Adam Swade's the interesting one for Essendon, because as we said, Essendon's going to trade out those second round picks, and push up the order to get pick nine, but it leaves them without any picks out the back, which could result in them missing out on Suede because they won't have the capital to match that bid unless they trade back in a future pick back into this year. So that's quite an interesting watch as well.
Okay, time for a new segment. I haven't named this one really. It's not very original. It's called Sliders and Bolters. let's have a little bit of a look first at some of these very, very talented players that we've been tracking over the course of the season that might have actually fallen out of the plans of some clubs in the first round. We might see them now on the second night of the draft.
Yeah.
I'll jump in. I think Ludwig's probably the one mm-hmm. that some were expecting to be on night one. There was even word that he could be invited to the draft early days, and clubs as early sort of GWS had shown interest there. But yeah, the likelihood is that he is probably a late night one chance, and even potentially pushing into night two as well. 195 centimeter key forward, AFL Academy, was projected as a potential top 10 pick towards the start of the year. You know, it didn't quite work out for him with injury, and then form and then injury, suffered a PCL blow just during the national champs. So he's one to definitely keep an eye on, one who could be a steal. And probably the one that's dominated the conversation in the last few weeks is Ollie Greaves. He's his second to Lark medal behind Dyson Sharp after a super national championships, a taller midfielder type. But I guess his running ability has sort of been, really focused on by clubs. And it can be pretty harsh for these kids where, they've dominated all year, had a stack of disposals, and it's sort of one area of the game that's really had the magnifying glass on it. And that's sort of been the case with Greaves. So he's one who could potentially prove a few wrong down the track, but he's one who could even be available sort of towards that second night as well.
So Hawthorn was frustrated that they couldn't get him into their NGA program earlier in the season, but now you've got him potentially slipping to their second pick.
Yes, I think that's probably where he lands. I think it's maybe Hawthorn or Geelong for Greaves at the moment. As he potentially gets to Geelong's second pick, which is 40 at the moment, that will come into mid 30s. But it's going to be. It is quite interesting how far he has dropped since the start of the year. But as we said, there's some other guys there too. So. For me, Javan Philippo is an interesting watch too. Some have him rated as a top 20 talent throughout the year, and I'm not quite sure where he lands. I think I know North Melbourne and GWS have done a fair bit of late work on him. St Kilda clearly has interest. Richmond has interest. There's enough clubs there that like him and what he could do, but he's probably going to slide back, I think, at this stage. And St Kilda's the watch, whether or not they trade in a future pick to try and get back in the order if he does slide out a little bit. But St Kilda doesn't have a second round pick next year, so that will complicate things a little, I would think. And probably Fred Rodriguez is the other one for me from WA. So people were talking about him as a top 10 pick earlier in the year as well. He had quite a good national championships, had a pretty consistent year. Doesn't have the X factor of some other players, but pretty reliable, sort of hard at it midfielder type. I think he's probably in that group of players that are some at 30 plus. There's a big pool of them that have just got their fingers crossed for night two at the moment. And I know there's a handful of clubs with some solid interest in him, but it will be interesting to see where he lands as well.
So if you just tuned in, this is our segment, Sliders and Bolters. We've just done the sliders. Now time for the bolters. And a lot connected to what Richmond do with those picks in the top 10.
Yeah, absolutely. So as we spoke about Sam Cumming earlier, he sounds like he's a man for the Tigers now with one of those top 10 picks. And Lachie Duverstone's the other one that's quite interesting too. So as of Saturday, he hadn't got an invite to the first night of the draft. AFL's invited him on Sunday after that. And that was as it emerged that Essendon was going to get and a pick off Carlton, that pick nine. So and Lachie was also at Essendon training last Friday too, pictured up there on the balcony. So I think that's the firm mail that he will end up a Bomber, and he's the best small forward in the draft class. It's probably exactly what Essendon need, team him up with Isaac Kakko, and you're away.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess the other one I touched on earlier, Latrell Pickett, I think he trained with Melbourne earlier in the year, but he hadn't nominated for the draft, so he wasn't able to be selected or picked up as an SSP. He's obviously the cousin of Cozzy Pickett. And yeah, he starred in the sample reserves comp, 32 goals for him. And then on debut for Glenelg in the sample, kicked 4 goals and was just selling candy like it was no one's business. So yeah, he's a really exciting type. And we saw it's quite a similar sort of rise in his draft year too. Or not even his draft year. He's turning 20 in December, Pickett. But just like Cozzy in his draft year, he was sort of rated around this maybe a 30 mark. And then Melbourne just went, nah, we're picking him with a pick, which was sort of midway through the first round. Pretty could be a similar case for Pickett with a lot of clubs interested there in the teens. And GWS certainly put a lot of work into him.
Just on Lachie Davison getting that invite, the late invite to the first night of the draft, that's a pretty big logistical exercise for the AFL, isn't it? Do they have to uninvite someone to create that room?
No, so they started off with 12 invites. They added Cam Nairn, who emerged as a target for Melbourne late as well. So they invited him from South Australia, and then Davison's come into it just over the weekend. But obviously being a local Melbourne boy, that makes it a little bit easier. They don't have to organise flights for him and 10 family members from interstate or anything. So, but yeah, that's clearly there's some mail around him being a definite to be picked on night one now.
Yeah. And just a couple of clubs that we'll quickly go through that are probably the most interesting heading into tomorrow night. I think Kangaroos fans will be a bit anxious to see North Melbourne get back into the first round after they traded out of it last year to get Matt Whitlock. How likely do you think it is that they do something to get back in?
Yeah, so as we said, I think they're going to get that pick off Carlton, which we've got as becoming pick 15 in the end. Really interesting what the Roos do here, because they've been linked to Latrell Pickett. Maybe they beat GWS to him, but we've also got some mail that they like Aiden Schubert too, key forward from South Australia, who many have rated as a top 12 prospect. Probably fits exactly what they need at the Roos there. I know they like Javon Philippo as well. I know they've met with Josh Lindsay in the past few days, Geelong Falcons halfback, and Blake Threadgold's the other one who's been linked to them for a while as the key defender from South Australia. So they're all quite different players. So it'll be interesting which way the Roos do go, but that's going to be a real pivot point in the draft, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And like, you know, if they trade up and then get Pickett, like obviously it's quite a risk picking someone out of the sample reserves. You know, I'm giving away a fair bit of draft capital. So it'll be really interesting to see if they do take that punt, or, you know, which way they go, whether they do go the tall or the key defender. I guess probably the other sort of points where it could get a little bit shaky, as sort of touched on before, is the Richmond selections earlier. If they go for Xavier Taylor instead of Sullivan Roby, then that changes one out and maybe allows potentially a Jacob Farrow to slide a bit further or others like that. Cam Nairn seems to be the lock though for Melbourne. And you know, he's quite highly rated by our clubs in the teens, even though he has been sort of projected maybe a bit later earlier in the year. So, no, it's going to be pretty fascinating the way it does go. And I think more than ever, this is a draft that has proved to be more unpredictable than the ones that have come before.
And Essendon Cav, if they do a deal with Carlton before bids, they'd come into the draft armed with 3 top 10 picks. That'll bring back a lot of memories of 2020 when they didn't quite get it right.
Well, they didn't quite get that right, did they, with Perkins, Cox, and or the other one?
Zach Reid, of course.
Yeah.
But it must put a lot of pressure on their recruiting team if they do go down that path and they get 3 picks.
Yeah, massive pressure on the Bombers to get this year right. And I think if you're picking in that top 12 range, you shouldn't, you know, it's hard to get it wrong if you're going for players that everyone else thinks is right in that mix. But yeah, it's emerged as a draft that's not quite as bad as we thought it might have been earlier in the year, I think. It's very even, but there is a group of 12 or 14 up the top that are a bit stand out to the rest.
Yeah, and as we're seeing as well with Richmond's 3 and 4 and Essendon's selections as well, they're pushed out a bit further because of these academy and father sons, four of them, you know, within their predicted to go within in the top six. So yeah, it's not a great draft to have picks right at the top. But at the same time, Richmond's had a pretty good draft last year, and Essendon was able to get Isaac Kakko in the door. So I'm sure they won't be complaining too much.
Final segment. I'm going to write these segments down so I remember them for next year. This is called Cavan Dan's Best Buys. I'd like to hear from both of you. Just we're 24 hours out now. Who you think is going to be the best value pickup late in the draft? Someone who could be the next James Heard, the next Nick Larkey, someone deep in the national draft.
I couldn't narrow it down to one, so I've gone with three here. Javon Philippo's one, who I mentioned earlier, but 183-centimetre midfielder forward, missed the national champs through injury, but really driven professional. He'd love to get to St Kilda with his brother Matthias. So that's just a big watch for me. Liam Heatherton's the other one, 198-centimetre key forward from the Murray Bush Rangers. Started the season really strongly before he had a stress fracture in his back, but I think he's got a fair bit of talent and could be a great pickup for a club later in the order. And Sam Allen, I want to put him on the radar. So he's the most athletic player in the draft. He's a wingman or outside sort of running type who's a good overhead mark, kicks it well. Did an ACL in May, but his PB in the 2 kilometre time trial is 5 minutes 40 seconds. So I'm not sure what yours is, Ed, but that is pretty quick going. So yeah, those are the three to watch for me later in the order.
Yeah, I've gone obviously went off a tangent before about Ollie Greaves, but I'll stick with him as one of them. Another one is Louis Emmett, who entered the year as a potential number one pick. A bit of an undersized ruckman. You know, club's a bit unsure about where he might play if not in the ruck, but you know, he runs all day. He showed last year he could just absolutely dominate and take the P155 in games. He was having 30 touches, 20 hit outs, and kicking 2 goals. So I'm backing him to really go well at the next level. Another one who's a little bit more off Broadway. I think it might be a decent chance to land at the Cats is Hunter Holmes. We saw obviously Max Holmes's late development, and he was a bit of a speculative selection by the Cats, who ended up picking him in the first round in that 2020 COVID draft. But Hunter Holmes has that same sort of later development. And we saw what Max has been able to do in the space of 5 years. Wouldn't be surprised if Hunter Holmes also has a similar trajectory.
I like that you've gone with off-Broadway, because the number one pick, Willem Dersma, very much on Broadway, as we found out this week, thanks to a great story from Cav. Some great content to catch up on, including that trip down to Foster that Cav took to meet the Dersmas and find out what's in the water down there. Other great analysis to come as we approach the draft Wednesday and Thursday night's national draft and the Friday rookie draft. We'll have all the news from that on Code Sports and the Herald Sun. Cav, Dan, thanks for joining us, and good luck to all the players involved in tomorrow's draft.
I'm Andrew Rule, host of the podcast Life and Crimes. The problem for the police was there were far too many potential suspects. They obviously couldn't all be guilty. And he went to the people next door and said, "Have you seen Shauna?" And they said, "No, no." And he rushed back to the house and went to Shauna's room, and there was Shauna, dead in her bed. This month on Life and Crimes, available wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.